Hi, everyone. I'm Haley Griffiths, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode number 53. I'm Brian Peters, and this week we're peeling back the proverbial onion and diving deep into the five biggest social media mistakes we've made here at Buffer.
I cannot believe that we're already at episode number 53. It feels like just yesterday we were making all sorts of podcasting mistakes, and here we are. So this week's episode is a good one because I know I've made these mistakes before, and lots of other marketers have told us that they have too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we published a blog post on the blog, and we got a pretty solid response of, wow, we've been there as well, Buffer. Thanks for sharing these. So the purpose of this episode isn't necessarily to call anyone out on their mistakes. It's more of a, here's what we've done wrong, so you don't have to do the same. So that being said, let's kick things off.
Starting with mistake number one, trying to be on all social platforms at once. So being a social media management company, we sort of feel like it's our duty to test out all the social media platforms so that we can understand how each platform works and we can share what we've learned about succeeding on each platform. But what we have not been so great at is deciding when to stop using a certain platform. And there was a time last year when we were spending a good amount of time on every single platform. We were on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google+, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and we were even on the more obscure platforms. I'm talking about Anchor, Musical.ly, Peach, and Beam, and no one was on those, and we were still on them.
Yes, Beam, Casey Neistat's channel. I remember that one. So we dove into the data and we just weren't getting the results that we were expecting for the time and effort that we were putting into all of the different social media platforms. What was happening was, instead of finding and creating the best content we could for each platform, we were finding and creating average content because, you know, let's face it, it's just much easier to do that. And I know this is something that a lot of marketers can relate to. You see an influencer or a brand succeeding on a specific platform and you automatically want to go there, right? But what we don't realize is just how hard it is to create really good content, native content, for each individual social media platform.
Exactly. That's so true. So every additional platform your business is active on means additional time and effort required to create great tailored content for that platform. And then plus, engage with your fans on that platform too, because that's also important. So our advice here is to take stock of your social media profiles and consider which channels are performing for your business and which are not. And by moving away from social media platforms that might not suit your business or be performing well, you can double down on the ones that are really working. Key takeaway: fewer channels, more focus, better content.
Mistake number two: not optimizing our content for mobile. So I'd love to start mistake number two with a couple of fun facts that I recently came across. The first is from Adobe, showing that in quarter four of 2016, more than 50% of all video views came from mobile devices, finally surpassing desktop for the first time in history. Wow.
That's awesome.
Second is that 92% of the 2 billion monthly active users on Facebook access the platform, Facebook, via mobile device only. That's incredible. So ignoring creating content specifically for mobile was a huge mistake on our end.
Wow. And you know, like, I'm definitely one of those Facebook users that uses it almost exclusively on mobile.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what we were doing previously was posting landscape videos and images to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter because landscape was the quote unquote ideal image size. But then platforms changed their experience to show photos and videos natively to how they were shared. So in other words, if we share a portrait style photo on Instagram, it now shows up as portrait. Or if we share a square video on Facebook, it shows up as square. And that's incredible for marketers because square and portrait both take up more real estate in a person's mobile feed.
Yep, and that's the important part there, the real estate in someone's feed. So it's actually 78% more real estate, in fact. When users are scrolling through their feeds, this gives your content a lot more what we like to call thumb-stopping power. Now, of course, your content still has to be good, right? But optimizing it for mobile in both square and portrait mode helps with the thumb-stopping ability tremendously. And actually, we now only post portrait style photos and square videos to Facebook because of how well they performed versus landscape over the last few months. If you look at our Instagram account, all photos are also portrait because of how much screen space they take up. So the key takeaway here is that square or vertical images and videos take up more real estate, so use those to your advantage.
Mistake number three, sharing only our own content. Definitely guilty of this. We used to shy away from curated content because we thought it wouldn't contribute to our bottom line, things like traffic, signups, and revenue. We were thinking, do we really want to be sending traffic to someone else's website other than our own? Like, that does feel a bit counterintuitive, until we realized that we were being slightly short-sighted. While we were marketing to our fans, we really weren't growing our fan base at all. And the worst part was that traffic to our website was slowly declining month over month. So essentially, we were marketing to mostly the same people who could also potentially be people who are annoyed by too much buffer content.
I think that was it. You know, because it was during the time when I was increasing our posting count, and I just kept watching the traffic go down and down.
Oh, no.
But you know, almost, and you know, a lot of that has to do with the algorithm, but a lot of it is just sharing your own content. It's a big ask to ask people to constantly go to your website. But almost the moment we started experimenting with posting content from other sources, such as, you know, TechCrunch, Wired, Business Insider, our page's reach and engagement and fans grew significantly. In fact, if you look up our top Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter posts over the last 6 months or so, more than 60% of our top posts of all time are curated from others. So posting quality content from others directly increased our reach, engagement, and following across social. But one question I still continually get is, how does curated content lead directly to the bottom line? And the answer is, it doesn't. At least it doesn't right away, right? But what it does do is drive qualified audience members into the top of your funnel that you can then deliver valuable own content to down the line.
Exactly. Another way to think about this is the thought leadership side of things as well. You're sharing content and reaching people who may not have heard of your brand before and converting them into social media followers, establishing yourself or your brand as a credible source of information. And this is the first step in the journey. So the takeaway for this mistake is that curated content, while it doesn't convert sales right away, brings in more interested and qualified prospects into the top of your funnel.
Mistake number four, posting the same content across platforms. If you're a reader of the Buffer blog, you know that we often recommend people to share unique content for each of the social media platforms because each of the platforms are set up differently and people have different expectations for the content they want to see on each platform and also how they consume that content. But up until recently, we weren't practicing what we preach. To save time, we were sharing the same content, same format to multiple platforms. The problem with that is that by doing so, we were ignoring the nuances and the secret language of each network. We were essentially limiting the potential of the post because every post looked and felt the same no matter where you were.
I love the term secret languages there, Brian.
Thank you.
That's awesome. That reminds me of what Gary Vee wrote so spot on in his book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. He said that sharing the same content to multiple platforms is like going to Sweden and trying to speak Spanish. And you might get lucky and find a Spanish speaker, but like probably not.
Probably won't happen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm so excited about the new tailored post feature on Buffer. If I can insert a small plug here, it allows us to schedule custom messages to each social platform in one go. So rather than doing it manually by platform or copying and pasting the link multiple times in a scheduler, you can do it all at one place. So before, we were sharing the same message out of pure time-saving necessity, but it's so important nowadays to treat each platform differently.
Yeah, absolutely, Haley. I was doing the same exact thing with my personal content and all the content at Buffer. What I love about the new tailored post feature is that it also is integrated into our Buffer extension. So if I'm on, let's say, an article that I want to share, I can easily click Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, customize each message, and then click add to queue once. And then it adds the post at the certain time that I've designated in the Buffer app. And it's just a super seamless process. So key takeaway here is that people are expecting a specific experience on each social platform, and it's more important than ever to tailor content for each social media network.
Mistake number 5, focusing on quantity over quality. This one was a little bit tough to us for admit. We were posting way too much to social media. At one point, we were sharing more than 120 posts a week across all of our platforms. We realized that's probably more than anyone wants to hear from Buffer during the
yep,
week.
Yep.
And like, really, if we're being honest, no one can consume that much content. No one is consuming that much content. Limiting our posting frequency to just one or two per day forced us to share only the best content. This happened because let's say we had 3 pieces of content we could share during a given day. We had to choose one. This quickly started weeding out the average content. And in the long run, these quality posts resonated with our Facebook fans and the Facebook algorithm surfaced them to even more people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I witnessed that firsthand with the Facebook algorithm. But, you know, we hear the word quality content all the time, right? The word quality pops up no matter what article you read. But what does quality actually mean? So maybe I can share this, and it's kind of helped me to think of quality content as a mix of trending and useful. So right now, for example, video is trending. Marketers who are succeeding are figuring out ways to create useful video content. Podcasting is another thing that's trending right now. So podcasters are figuring out new ways to provide useful podcast content. So that mix of trending and useful is a good way to think about what kind of quality content that you can share with your specific audience. Key takeaway here is that we're all limited for time on social media. There's no way to post high quality content multiple times per day to social media unless you have a big team behind you. So by simply reducing the number of times you post each day, you'll have more time to focus on quality over quantity.
Well, that was fun, owning up to all of our mistakes. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Science of Social Media. If you're interested in seeing some more mistakes that we've made throughout the years on social media, you can check out our new blog post at blog.buffer.com/social-media-mistakes. And for a great listen, check out episode number 48, a Facebook posting strategy that led to a 330% increase in reach and engagement. Yes, that was 330%. That's a lot of percent.
And a huge thanks to you all for our new and returning listeners to the podcast. We appreciate every single one of you. But before we go, we have something special coming up in another episode later on in the year. We're going to be taking all of your social media questions from Twitter. Send them over to us using the hashtag BufferPodcast, and we'll be choosing a few to answer in an upcoming episode. Until next Monday, here's to learning from our mistakes.